The moment I've been waiting for Caleb Jernigan to invite me to come here to speak, to share God's word, to share stories, and he's not here. I've got a lot of stories on Caleb Jernigan, but we'll save those for outside the church buildings. That sound good? So I love Caleb. I love Brittany. I love their children. We've known them a long time, as Caleb said. I want you to know this morning, as you're aware, I do not know you personally. I don't know you personally. I don't know where you live. I don't know what kind of car you drive. I don't really know your personalities. I don't know your temperaments. I don't know all of your names. But I can tell you this, that I know about you through Caleb. We talk all the time on the phone. We FaceTime a lot. Sometimes it's just fun stuff. Sometimes it's serious stuff. Sometimes it's prayer requests. We have a continual relationship, even though we've not been working together for a long time. We're very close friends, but we're also friends in ministry. And I want you to know that I know you. And I also want you to know that I know you've been going through a really hard time. He's filled me in. He's filled me in on all the different things that have been going on here, not all at one time, but over a period of time. The lightning strike, the money you had to spend on that, right? COVID has been going on for a long time, for the most part, right? You've had a lot of people in your church with serious cases of COVID. You've had some deaths, some funerals that you probably have attended. So have I. You currently have people that are dealing with COVID. You've not been meeting at the church because of COVID. It affected your vacation Bible school. I want you to know that I know you, and I know about what you've been going through. And so that has helped me shape today's sermon. I am not a professional counselor. I wouldn't say I'm all that. I've not had tons of experience with troubled times, but like everybody here that's here today, not many of you, and many of you that are watching online, all of us have experienced troubled times, tough times, right? Whether it's COVID-related or family issues or something at your school, everyone faces tough times. And so I want to share with you this morning four things that might be helpful to you, four things that are going to be helpful for me as we live in this world where we will have tough times. First thing I want to share is this. It's not one of the four points. I just got to make this known that no one is exempt from tough times. Jesus made that very clear in John 16:33. He says, you will have trouble. He didn't say you might have trouble. He didn't say pray really hard so you never have troubles. He just said you will have troubles, whether you're a believer or whether you're not. You're going to have troubles while you're on earth. But the rest of the verse says, but I have overcome this world. He gives us the hope that we need as we go through troubled times. I know you. I know about you and your church right now and your community. I want to share scripture with you today that could be helpful to you and even for me as we go through this crazy time of COVID and or any other situations you may be going through that you would consider tough times. So there's four things. I hope you'll take notes. You can write in a piece of paper. I love the phones of you're getting your notepads out ready on your phones. I hope that you're taking notes for the few of you that are here, for those that are watching online. I hope you can mark down these four things that will be helpful to you during tough times. I just wanted to encourage you today as our hearts are bothered by what's going on in this community, in your church. And I pray that these scripture verses that we're going to look at today will encourage you. Here's the first thing. Number one, As we face tough times, number one is this. Know that Jesus understands tough times. A lot of times when we grow up in the church, or maybe even outside of the church, we see Jesus as this authoritative figure that's just pointing at us, giving us rules and guidelines, and he's watching us, and he's getting ready to scold us and make sure that we have consequences and that we learn through our tough times. He is of all authority. But I don't know about you, but it makes me feel better to know that I have a relationship with Jesus, with somebody that also had emotions and feelings on this earth as he dealt with people. You name it, he went through it. Rejection, persecution of all different kinds, health issues, rumors, relationship problems. Jesus experienced the same things that you and I have experienced or will experience. I love the fact that I choose to follow Jesus, who can relate to my hurts and to my pains and my tough times. That's who I want to choose to follow. In John chapter 11, verses 33 through 35, we're going to look at a couple of verses there. You know this story about Lazarus, right? There's Mary and Martha and Lazarus, sisters and a brother, two sisters and a brother. They're very close. They're a family knit, right? Jesus was friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You remember Mary, right? The perfume on Jesus' feet. She uses her hair to serve him and clean his feet, right? And then you got Martha. She's like, Jesus, come into my house. And she's distracted. She's forgetting who is in her house. And she's too distracted by other things. And then there's Lazarus, Jesus was really good friends with Lazarus. So he had a friendship. He was very close to this family. And so Mary and Martha go to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, Lazarus has been dead. He's dead. And we come to the scriptures, John 11, starting in verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And if you get really into the details of the scripture in the original context, when it says that he was deeply moved or greatly troubled or Jesus wept, we're talking about like agony of all the emotions that come with grief he was dealing with at this time. He was weeping. He was deeply troubled because he had compassion for his friend. He saw the hurt upon Mary and Martha and all the other witnesses that were there at the moment. All that was on his shoulders. He had compassion for them. It could be, too, that he knows that soon his arrest is coming, that they're going to come arrest him, and that's the beginning journey of him going to the cross and taking his own life for mankind. And so all of these emotions are on Jesus. Man, he also understands our tough times. I'm grateful that I'm following Jesus, who can relate to my tough and troubled times. I can go to him. He understands. And that's the first point, is that Jesus understands any of the things that we go through that are tough. Number two, I want to encourage you, as you're going through tough times, as a church, as a community, and your family, to reflect on past overcomings. To reflect on past overcomings, meaning that in the past you've had troubled times, you'd have tough times, and you could look back on your past and see how God helped you, guided you, or led you through that tough time. And now that you're on the other side of it, you can see how God matured you, how your heart has changed, how it's drawn you closer to Christ. And now you can be an influence to others and help those who've also dealt with something similar to you. Number two is to reflect on past overcomings. You know, that's exactly what David did. I love the story of David and Goliath. Y'all know the story. Most of you do. I tell the story a lot in schools in Mexico. In fact, tomorrow morning early, I have a small team. We're going to South Central Mexico. We normally go into schools and we share Bible stories in a school setting in a classroom of 30 or 60 people, junior high students. And we're able to tell a Bible story and relate it to their stage of life. And they love the David and Goliath story, especially if we reenact it and pull people from the crowd. And somebody plays the giant, the Goliath, and another one plays David. And it's just a lot of fun. But I love this story. 1 Samuel 17, looking at verses 33 through 37. You know the story. David's somewhat young. Some scriptures say he was a lad, right? Small in stature. And then there's Goliath. Some scholars believe that he was over 9 feet tall. Goliath had armor and all this stuff that he was ready to fight David with. And there was this war that was getting ready to go on. And that brings us to verse 33. And it says this in 1 Samuel 17, 33 through 37. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." Verse 36. "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David says this, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." David's saying, "Saul, you don't understand. I've got this past, and I had some tough times. It was a lion, it was a bear, and it was this situation and this situation. And each time, God provided for me. He protected me. He helped me through that." And he's pondering back on his past, and he's recognizing that if God helped him through those tough times, he's also going to help you through the next one. Easier said than done, right? It really is. But it's so true. And each and every one of you that's in this room and everybody watching online, including myself, if we take a moment to think back about the tough times we've had in life and how God helped us through that, we can take those moments and allow them to help us in our current tough situations that we're in. That gives us hope, right? It gives us hope to be able to reflect back on past overcomings. I love Scott, who you don't know. He's in my church. He runs the security ministry at our church. He's like 6'4". He's a really big guy. Anytime I see him in church, he sees me from a distance. His arms, he's huge. His arms, his wingspan comes way out here, and he just comes and he just hugs me, and I just kind of disappear inside. I mean, he's this huge, big teddy bear of a guy. And man, he has had a tough time in the military in the past. He went into IT work with computers. He worked in hospitals in Tulsa. And man, he's lost some jobs through the years, and God has always provided for him. And he recently, in June, his place of employment said, "We're shutting down. You have no job." And I keep checking up on, I'll call him or I'll see him at the front door of the church. Scott, how's it going? I've been praying for you. I know you're looking for a job. Keith, it's going to be fine. I lost this job one time, God provided. I lost this job one time at this hospital, God provided. And sure enough, he came to me not long ago, said, Keith, it's not my dream job, but he provided a job in computers with IT at this particular hospital in Tulsa. It's a great hospital. I have a great job he's provided. But time and time and time again, he's like, Keith, but God's provided for me in the past. This time and this time and this time. So therefore, I know he's going to provide again. And I just love Scott's heart and his attitude. It's very similar to what David was saying in the scriptures here, is that, man, reflect on past overcomings because they're going to help you get through this tough time that's current in your life. So that's number two, reflect on past overcomings. And number three, this one comes from a friend of mine. The point comes from a friend of mine. We're going to look at scripture. This friend of mine is no longer with us. This friend of mine is actually in heaven. And his name is Barry. Barry was from Tennessee. He shows up at our church about 4 or 5 years ago. And he goes, I'm from Tennessee. I'm a former part-time youth pastor in Tennessee, but I also work for Dr. Pepper Snapple Company. I'm a sales manager, and I'm very successful in that business. And I've got cancer. He goes, I've got cancer, and that's why I moved to Tulsa to go to the Cancer Treatment Center in Tulsa, and they actually relocated me here. And so this is my church, First Baptist Church of Wausau. This is my church. I want to plug in, but I've got cancer, and I'm just going to let you know I'm here, and I'd love to get to know the staff. And man, did we get to know him. Whew, he had some tough times. Back in Tennessee several years ago, his son ended his life. So he had to go through the loss of his son. Not long after that, he got cancer, very bad. They sent him to Tulsa. His job relocated him. Surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. I mean, they took out a lot of stuff just to help him live. During that time frame, he lost his job but got another job. So he had to go through a job loss, not knowing if insurance would help, going through some financial troubles as he had cancer. Every time I would talk to him, he would say this, and it's actually the point. Keith, I'm holding on tight. Meaning, I'm holding on tight to God. He goes, Keith, as I've been in ministry, I've seen people go through tough times, and those tough times have caused them to really think about their faith, and many of them would leave their faith or move away from their faith, and they would move to no faith at all, or they'd be resentment towards their faith. And he goes, I'm choosing not to do that. I'm holding on tight to God. I'm holding on tight to God. I'm not going to let that happen to me. And I'll never forget, he was driving to Nashville, Tennessee. Michael W. Smith's ministry. You know Michael W. Smith, the big worship leader, nationwide, actually worldwide worship leader for years and years. His ministry contacted Barry and said, there's a young man in Nashville, Tennessee who's got the same kind of cancer that you've got. We want to send you to Nashville, and you're going to get to go to this concert. You're going to get to visit with this young man. We want you to be an encouragement to him. But he called me as he was driving on I-40 on the way to Nashville, and we talked for a couple hours, and he was just on the phone, blown away that God would be using him in the life of a young man who just recently got cancer, the same kind he got. And he's like, Keith, if I wasn't hanging on tight, I would never be in this situation to where Michael W. Smith's ministry would call me and ask me to minister to somebody else, to pray with him, to help him, to encourage him and his family. And he goes, if I wasn't hanging on tight, I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't have that opportunity. We'd go pray with him at the hospital before surgery. I'm hanging on tight. I'm not letting go of my faith. He'd come to church. He'd come give me a big hug. Most of the time when he came to church, he'd get emotional. He'd just start crying. Part of that's because he didn't feel good. Other times he just knew his life was just coming to an end. But he just kept saying that over and over. Keith, I'm not moving away from my faith. This is tough. This is hard. But I've seen too many people move away from their faith during tough times. But this is going to draw me closer. And he had to really push himself to do that. He struggled. Did his daughter's graduation ceremony in his house as he was on hospice. And he's like, I'm hanging on tight. My kids are watching me. I'm hanging on tight. And David, coming back to David again in the scriptures, Psalm 23. Many of you know Psalm 23. All right, it's one of the most recited psalms, actually recited scriptures in the Bible. And David, basically, what he's saying in the scripture is, I'm hanging on tight. And if you look back on David's life, from the situation with Bathsheba to the murderer of Uriah to even earlier on when David and Goliath, he had all these troubled times through his life, right? Then the confrontation of Nathan coming. Nathan went to him and confronted him. And so now he's on this end. He's like, I'm hanging on tight. I am not moving away from my faith. And I want us to read this, Psalm 23. So listen to this. This is David saying this. The Lord is my shepherd. Remember what a shepherd is. It's guiding and leading the sheep, protecting the sheep. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I go through troubled times, even though I'm having a really hard time, I will fear no evil. For God, you are with me, your rod and your staff. The rod and the staff would pull a sheep closer to them if they wandered off. He uses it as an instrument to bring his sheep around and to protect them. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God, you prepare a table for me, before me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's David going, I'm hanging on tight. I'm not leaving my faith. Even though I've got all these situations I've been through, and David's heart was after God, even though he had all these problems. I love David's transparency, how genuine his heart was, even in the midst of all his struggles. He's like, I'm holding on tight. I just want to encourage you because, again, I know you and I know what's going on in this community and your church, especially during this current time. Hold on tight to him. Hold on tight to him. God wants to mature you and you'll grow through that. He wants to use you in the life of others as he already is. That's number three, hold on tight to God. And then number four, as we face tough times, God just really led me to this, to share with you today. And I've been finding myself sharing this more and more often with people I know. And I'll be honest with you, I've shared this also in a recent sermon at my church back home in Owosso. We have a second campus in Tulsa, and I was preaching there. And I shared this not long ago. I just feel like I needed to share it with the congregation. As we go through tough times, no matter what it is. And I've even found this in my own life, that sometimes the weight of the trouble or the tough times, maybe the depression, the anxiety that goes with it, things maybe just may not seem to be going right, or maybe we've gotten out of our comfort zone, or maybe there's no normality, whatever it may be, it somehow can cause us to feel like we're not valuable. For whatever reason. You may never tell anyone about it. No one may ever know. But inside, there's like, I just don't know that I'm valuable. If I'm guessing, I'm guessing that's happened to you. It doesn't mean you're going to hurt yourself. It just means that there's moments where you're just like, man, what's this all about? And we don't feel valuable. And I just want to, number four is this. I want to encourage you and remind you today I want you to know you are valuable. Number one, you are valuable to Jesus Christ. That's what matters most. But I also want you to know you're valuable to your pastor and the support staff that's here, and the other pastors that are here. You're valuable to your family and to your community. I love what God says in Genesis 1, 27 through 31. He created all this stuff, right? Everything you can imagine on planet Earth. He created all this stuff. In verse 27, he said, "So God created man in his own image." Not the image of the world, but he created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. Verse 31. So basically, he's done creating everything. Verse 31, he says, it says this, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good." Very good. Scripture doesn't say he looked at everything that he made, including man and woman. It doesn't say that he said, "It's okay. It'll do." The scripture doesn't say, "Well, I did the best I could. We'll see what happens." No, the scripture says that he looked at all that he made and it is very good. What a great reminder to us today. We are very good in the eyes of Christ and God our Father. The world will tell you differently. Maybe people that you know may tell you differently. Strangers may tell you differently. The media may tell you differently. God's word says that you are very, very good. And the last scripture I want to look at today, almost the last scripture, is Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And again, this is, man, the author of this, again, is very transparent and he's very genuine. It says this, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. This is so rich. Listen to this. "God, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Listen to this, verse 16. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And listen to this. This is crazy. Verse 17. "How precious to me your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would be more than the pieces of sand," paraphrase, "on earth." He's saying, "God, you think of me so much and so often. If I were to count those times that, God, you think about me, that would be more times than the pieces of sand on planet earth." Wow. That scripture is a reminder to me that I am valuable in the eyes of God our Father, no matter what's going on in my community, in my church, in my life, in my personal life. I am valuable. Great scripture to remind us as we at times could think that, you know what, I'm not valuable. I don't know how I quite think about me because of the weight of the problems and the troubles that I have or around me. Let the scripture speak to you today and remind you that you are valuable. So if we were to go back over these four things that scripture points back to, the first thing again is this, is to know that Jesus understands your tough times. Number two, I want to encourage you to reflect on the past overcomings. Number three, hold on tight to God. Number four, and know that you're valuable. He loves you deeply, cares for you. He wants to help you through your tough time. He wants to help you as you help others with their tough time. And before we go, I just want to share this with you. How else do we know that we're valuable to God? What He did for us on the cross. Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, I am valuable to Him. I was worth Him dying on the cross for me. You are worth Him dying on the cross for you. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. I want to encourage you to embrace Him. Choose to follow Him. Surrender your life to Him. If you're online, there should be a link there. And you can click on that link and somebody will be in touch with you. Somebody will be glad to talk with you more about how you can choose to follow this Jesus Christ that loves you and sees you as valuable, will help you through your tough times. If you're here in this building, not many of you, but if you're here, there's somebody here that would be glad to talk to you as well. I'd love to pray for us as we get ready to dismiss. So let's pray. God, we thank You for the scriptures that we looked at today. Thank You for the reminders. I pray for this church and this community as they struggle with COVID-19 and other issues. I thank You so much that You have placed Caleb in this church to lead them and guide them as he has already done. May You continue to use him in the life of all these people here that are also watching online, all the folks in this community, the surrounding areas. God, we thank You for Brittany's ministry as well. God, continue to use them in the life of this church. Thank You, God, for all of these people who are committed, who are also ministering to others who are going through tough times. God, thanks for loving us. Thank You for Your grace. In Your name we pray. Amen.